Accession number 27065, Mr. James Blackburn, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Blackburn?
I was born in Warsop, which is near Mansfield. my father worked at the local...
What was your date of birth?
On 25th of July, 1920.
And tell us a bit about your family, your background.
Well, my father worked at the colliery at Warsop Vale. He was the chief clerk there. And he was very much involved with the life of the village, Warsop. He was on the council. He was a very big pillar of the church, as you might say. He sang in the choir and he was the rector's warden. And the church really was the mainstay of his life. But he had his finger in so many pies, it's difficult to enumerate them.
And how many were there in the family? Do you have any brothers?
Yes, I had one brother and one sister. My sister still living. She was a deaconess and lives in a retirement home for clergy or their wives near Market Harbour. And my brother lived in South Africa for the last 20 years of his life, and he died 2 years ago.
Was it a happy family, a religious family?
Yes, it was very happy, yes. Yes, I had a very happy childhood. My father was the youngest of 10 in his family, and my mother was one of 13, a farming family from Scotland. So we used to have some very interesting parties at Christmas time and birthdays and all that sort of thing. Always finishing up with singing Auld Lang Syne, being Scottish. They were all Scottish, of course.
And what about your education? Tell us about that.
Well, I went to the local school in Warsop up to the age of 11, and then I went to the Brunt School in Mansfield until I was 17.
Was that a grammar school?
Yes, it is a grammar school now. It wasn't called a grammar school in those days. There was another grammar school, Queen Elizabeth Grammar School in Mansfield. This was just called the Brunt School. But it was equivalent to a grammar school, yes.
What kind of an education? What did you specialise on? What were your good subjects in your?
Well, I was very keen on English, and I did like maths. The original teacher of maths used to frighten me to death, so I didn't get on very well. But when I passed up a further class. It was a lady teacher, and I got on like a house on fire, and I became quite fond of maths. Enjoyed doing the subject. And
any other favourite subjects?
Well, history. I used to like history. And
what about sport? That side.
Yes, I was very fond of cricket. That was my main sport, because my father and my brother were big cricketers in the local Bassett Law League. So I was likely to, but I've always been very fond of cricket. In fact, I played until I was nearly 70. You can tell. I was never fond of... I used to play tennis, but I was never really very fond of it. Cricket was the...
And did you play for your school or for local clubs or for both?
Well, I played for the school, but I did not play cricket right through the war. Until it was well after the war, when I joined the West Bridgeford Cricket Club.
Before the war, it was mainly just school.
It was just school, yes. Yes.
Did you have any? Were you a member of any of the boys' associations, like the Boy Scouts,
no,
or anything like that?
No, I was in the choir at church. We had a cricket club, actually, a choir boys' cricket club, but. No, I didn't belong to Scouts or anything like that.
Did you have any other hobbies other than cricket or, you know, any big interests? Or?
Well, I like chess. I played chess quite a bit.
Now, what were you going to do when you left school? So you'd be coming up to leaving school in 1937, about?
Well, I always wanted to be a farmer. I never had any other ambitions at all, really.
Now, what caused that? Because your dad was a miner.
Well, he wasn't a miner, exactly, but it was on my mother's side. I was more of a... my mother was a bowman, a big farming family from Scotland, and I was more of a bowman, really, although my name was Blackburn. It was born in me, really.
So how did you get about, you know, getting into farming?
Well, I came here. My uncle had this farm, and you had to spend a year on a farm before you could go to college. So I came here for a year, but of course that was in 1938. Well, in 1939, when I would have been going to college, the war broke out.
Now tell us about that. Now this here is Hall Farm Tollerton.
Yes, that's right.
Now tell me about, how did you take to farming then, your first year in it? That would be sort of 37, 38.
Yeah. Oh well, I liked it. I wasn't put off by the... It was all hard work, of course. I
mean, you weren't running it, you were just...
Oh, no, no.
You were just here
as a student, more or less, you see. I mean, there were staff here. There was a horseman and a cowman and odd job man and such like. And my uncle worked himself, of course. I was sort of picking up the reins of farming in itself, and I went to classes at the college while I was working here.
And what kind of agricultural?
Yeah, day classes, you see. Once a week I would go down to Nottingham University and study there just one day a week. And
what kind of things were you learning about?
Well, sort of crop rotation, and, animal husbandry, general farming, really. And but eventually I went to, in January 1940.
Now, hang on. Now, what about, did you, you know, in 1938, you stayed at Hall Farm from then until...
Stayed here, yes.
Now, what about, did you see in any way the war coming? I mean, were you...
Oh, yeah.
Tell
yes.
us, how did you feel about the approach of war?
Well, I assumed that I would be either called up or I would volunteer to go in. So, because my brother was in the TA. And, of course, as soon as war broke out, he was called up. And I always assumed that I would do the same, that I would go into the army.
Were you going to wait to be called up, or did you...
I was, yes. I went to Sutton Bonington College for 6 months, a six-month course on poultry keeping, actually. but at the end of that period, it was just the time of Dunkirk, I remember.
And, okay, so what about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of the day war broke out, back in September?
Well, I was sitting here, actually, in this chair. Well, the chair that was there. And the radio was over here with the television. And my uncle sat where you are, and my auntie sat here, sobbing, when Mr. Chamberlain came on. That was how it came. And then I had to...
How did you react? I mean, your aunt was sobbing. I mean...
Well, my uncle got up, funnily enough, he got up and said, well... Right, well, we shall have to feed the people. You know, he knew that farmers would be very important in the coming war. And he was a bit embarrassed with the auntie crying, I suppose. And he got up and went out and said, right, let's get on and feed the people. Then I had to...
How did you feel, though? I mean...
Well, it was just something that happened. I wasn't worried or... upset about it. I was just accepting things as they happened.
So, what happened next? Is this when you went on this poultry course shortly after? Or
yes.
What were you doing? Or you carried on working on the farm?
I did, yes. The course I would have been on started in September, but it was cancelled, you see, when war broke out. And
that was your university course, was it?
Well, yes, it was. It wasn't called a university in those days. It was called the Midland Agricultural College. And instead of starting in September, it started in the following January, so I didn't go till the following January. I stayed here working. And
now what happened? So in January, did you start at the course then?
Yes, that's right.
And that was the poultry course?
That was, yes. Yes.
Now, why poultry?
Well, I'd always fancied keeping chickens. And that seemed the thing, that seemed to me to be the thing to do. I'd learned a lot about all the other aspects of farming, sort of. I mean, it was horses in those days, horses. And one man ploughing, you know, plough about an acre a day and all that sort of thing. I mean, it seems ridiculous now. But that's how it was in those days. And wages, farm workers were getting 35 shillings a week. And occasionally getting an Irishman's rise, you know. But anyway, I just thought this poultry course was available, so I thought I'd take that.
And you were doing that. And how long was this course lasting for?
Went 6 months. Mm-hmm.
So that finished, as you said, round about, to June, Dunkirk, late May, June.
That's right.
Now, what happened then?
Well, I came back here and worked until I was called up. We got the harvesting sort of thing, and then I...
Was there any question of you being, you know, reserved occupation?
Well, that's what they told me. As soon as I went down, I had to go down London Road to the school there and get everything sorted out. And this chap said, what's your job? And they always said, you'll be all right. And I said, well, I don't want to be all right. I want to join the army, you see. So that's how it happened.
And do you know the month, when would that be?
What, the month?
The date you joined up.
Oh, it was 22nd of October.
1940.
That's right, yeah.
Now, and what had you joined up to join? I mean, you know, was there a choice at all?
Well, no, they said to me, what do you want to join? And I said, I'm not bothered. It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, yeah, you say these things and well, you have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I could have been in the infantry quite easily. But when I got the papers, it was to join the Royal Artillery.
Now, where were you sent?
Well, the original document said U-Shot. I had to report to U-Shot, which I don't know whether you know where that is.
I don't know how you spell it either.
E-U-S-H-O-T-T.
And where's that?
Well, it's near Aldershot. And as a matter of fact, I caught the train from Victoria Station. And went to U-Shot, and the corporal or whatever it was meeting us on the station said, right, we're now off to Aldershot. So we finished up in Aldershot that night, and I had to stay the night there. I remember we had some iron beds and about one blanket, and I assumed we had to sleep on this bed because I'd have been a lot better on the floor. But I, you know, I thought being in the army, I'd have to do as I was told, but it's ridiculous. But I had a rather restless night. It was cold, you know. But
did
anyway,
you know the name of the barracks you were in at Aldershot? Was this where you were staying, or was this just
it was just one night, you see. No, I don't know. It was in Aldershot, that's all I know. And then the following morning, we all got on the train and went to Wootton Under Edge. If you
Wootton
know where
Under Edge?
Yeah, you know where that is. You don't.
Where's
it's
that?
Right on the edge of the Cotswolds. You can see across the plain to Bristol. The railway, the main line to Bristol runs quite close by.
I think Gloucestershire then?
Yeah, Gloucestershire, that's right.
And who were you joining there?
Well, it was the 23rd Field Regiment. Artillery. But,
and were they in a camp, or outdoor camp, or was it in barracks?
Well, it was in barracks. No, it wasn't, sorry. in Walton under Edge. We were billeted above a pub. It was the top room of a pub in Walton under Edge.
Now, yeah. What were those billets like? How many to the room?
It was just basic. It was just the toilet arrangement weren't very good. I think there was, of course, it was a normal pub, you see, and they just had one toilet. And all of a sudden, about 40 army personnel billeted on them.
40?
Yeah. Yes, they'd altered this top room. You know, if you had about, there might not have been 40, but perhaps 30, I should think. It'd be about 15 beds. yeah. And.
So well, that was it. How did they make you welcome? You know, you arrive as a civilian. Now, you've been to Oldshire, I know, but they hadn't kitted you out at Oldshire.
Oh, no.
So what happened when you got to Walton under Edge?
Well, we started...
What about the kitting outside?
Well, we didn't get that for at least a month. We were doing it in our civilian clothes for at least a month. And, of course, we did all the marching drill and saluted to the front and...
Well, let's take. If we look at a sort of typical day, we can pick up a lot of these things. You know, basic training. What time would your day start? You'd be in the pub. It sounds bad, but you'd be.
yeah.
You'd be at the pub.
Yeah.
What time would they get you out of bed?
Well, 7 o'clock, normally. And then we had to march down the road to a hall. To get her breakfast and things like that.
Now, that brings us to a sort of one general question. What was the army? What was your first impression of army food? Like, what did you?
Well, I quite enjoyed it actually. I mean, we had metal plates. Some people, when you start cutting meat or stuff on a metal plate with a metal knife, it would set the teeth on edge. But that sort of thing never bothered me. I was quite happy if I could eat the food and. It was tasty enough, that was good enough for me. We used to have a lot of corned beef and McConaughey's and Irish stew.
A lot of tinned stuff then.
Tinned stuff, yes. And a lot of fish. We had tins of fish quite often. I remember peeling, it had John West on it, and I peeled the label off. And it got some Japanese label underneath, so I'm not sure what that was about.
And yeah. Was there enough of it?
Oh, yes, plenty. Yes. Never hungry. Not at all.
So, after breakfast, what would you...
Well, we then went out to do our marching drill.
Now, how did you take to drill? Had you been in... I forgot to ask, had you been in the officer cadets or anything like that?
No.
So, how did you take to drill your first experience?
Oh, I didn't mind it, you know. I mean, you were shouted at and... You had to do as you were told, but I was quite happy with that.
Did you get bored with marching up and down? Or?
No, not really. No.
Did you know the point of it then? Because there is a reason why they do drill, but yes, did you know it then?
Well, I can't remember really. I just accepted the fact that we had to learn how to do things in unison, have to all sort of work together, and. There were different instructors, some were better than others, you see. And there used to be a sort of competition as to who could get their recruits to a pretty fit state first. All that went on. And then...
What were the instructors like? Tell us a bit about them. And how did you get on with them?
Well, they were usually long-serving professional soldiers. You know, they'd been signed up for perhaps 20 years or 22 years, I think. That was one figure that they used to sign up for, 22 years, for some reason. And a lot of them were those sort of people. There was a Sergeant Noble. He was a strange character.
In what way?
He was almost... paranoid sometimes. He, but he was pretty good, really. But he just seemed a bit jumpy, a bit strange. And Sergeant Cattell was a typically solid professional soldier. Nothing ever bothered him, you see. You get these different people.
Was there a lot of shouting or a lot of swearing, either or? I mean,
there wasn't a lot of swearing, actually, no. No, it was mainly shouting. You know, get your feet together, and your name would be shouted, you see.
Do you think they knew this stuff?
Yes, I think they did. Yes, they were. They were good instructors, I think.
And they were fair enough?
Yes, they were.
I mean, they didn't pick on you when you didn't know anything wrong.
There was no bullying, as far as I remember.
Well, I wanted to ask, how did you get on with the other lads, you know, the other recruits?
Well, I was a bit isolated because I was a lot younger. See, I was only 20. And this particular batch that came in at that time were in the 33, 34, you know. They'd been married, most of them. They were married. And so there were only one or two about my age in that unit. So I was sort of a bit cut off.
There was no bullying?
No, there wasn't, no.
But were they a bit cliquey then, the old ones? They ignored you a bit, or was it just that you felt a bit?
Yes, I just felt a bit out of it, yes. Perhaps I was a bit paranoid as well, so perhaps it was my fault.
Did you make any special pal amongst the younger
ones? I didn't in that unit, never did, no.
Now, what other training? So a lot of drill, basic drill.
Yeah.
Was there weapons training? I'm thinking rifle and bayonet.
What we had were French 75s.
The artillery piece?
Yes, the artillery piece.
Tell me about that, that is interesting.
Yeah, the French 75s, they had wooden wheels, and they had to be manhandled up ramps into the 1300 weight lorries with the the barrel, poking out over the top of the driver's cab. So wherever we went, that's what we had to do, manhandle it up, manhandle it back down again. And they were terribly antique weapons, really. But they weren't anymore. It wasn't until, about July 1941 before we got 25-pounder.
Now, what was the gun drill like on the 75mm? Because that's quite unusual. Do you remember what the gun drill was?
I wasn't really involved with that so much because they taught me to drive. I couldn't drive when I joined the army.
Well, let's do. I can see that would take you off. So you weren't on a gun team.
No.
Now, tell me about the learning to drive, because driving then isn't quite as easy as it is now, with all double declutching and things.
That's right.
How did they teach you to drive?
Well, we had a 1300 weight lorry, and of course, picked six of us out, and the sergeant instructor sat in the cab, and of course, the lives of the five others in the back was at the mercy of this one who was learning to drive, really. but of course, there was no other traffic. We used to drive around these country lanes in Devon, which aren't very wide. But I liked it. I picked it up in no time.
Had no trouble?
I didn't, no. I found it very interesting driving.
So you've not done any driving on the farm of tractors?
Not at all, no, we haven't done any tractors.
You said horses.
Horses, No, I've never driven anything. You see, my dad never had a car.
So you were classified as a driver, were you?
Well, no, but we weren't classified.
Well, you weren't classified at all?
No, not at all, no.
What other training did you do then? You driving training, you've got drill, anything else?
No, I don't think there was
any weapons training on Lee Enfield, the rifle or anything?
Well, no. We did have a bit. We went to Bisley. We had we all had a rifle, obviously, and we went to Bisley and did some shooting. I suppose it was training. I didn't regard it much as training. We were just put in these pits and told to try and hit the target, and they had a flash. You know, somebody holding a thing up, you had to shoot at it. but there wasn't a lot of that. And there was a range in Moulton on the Range where you could use these 410 rifles, you know, small ones.
The .22s?
.22s, I mean, not 410, that's a shotgun, but .22s, yes, we used to use those on this rifle range.
Was anyone actually teaching you how to do it, you know, how to sight, how to
really.
Do the, you know,
really.
The proper position for firing, or
not
was it
really,
just really...
No.
You just get a bit of practice?
Yes, yes.
Any other training you can recall?
No, I don't think there was. Once I'd learnt to drive, I was allocated a truck.
Were you taught truck maintenance? You know,
yes, you were.
Don't they have daily and hourly and weekly routines there?
Yes.
Tell us about that, how they train.
Well, we were given instruction on the, what's the name system, the, how an engine works, and all the rest of it. Well, that was about it, I think. I don't think...
What about things like changing the oil, change the water, petrol, that, you know, routines of training?
Yes, you were given the basics. Yes, that's right. If you were going on long journeys or anything like that, you had to... check everything before you started, and they used to have weekly maintenance sessions. But quite often, we used to go on these schemes all over southern England. We used to go out for 3 or 4 days at a time on what they used to call schemes.
Well, what were they like? Tell us about them.
Well, they weren't very pleasant. I mean, you never knew where you were going to finish up. As regards, you'd perhaps be stuck in the field somewhere.
Were they firing or the rest of it? Was it mainly movement schemes?
Well, it was mainly movement, I think. They were just trying to organise the deployment of these different regiments, these different, as far as I can make out, anyway. And every time he stopped, he had to put camouflage nets all over the vehicles, you see. That was a bind. And I was reading in that book there, the what's his name, Alan Brooke. He mentions this big scheme they had, Bumper, it was called, where the whole of southern England was involved, I think, all the regiments. It was just because the armed forces were in a bit of a state, weren't they?